Mention the silent film era, and many people get a picture of a battered old honky-tonk piano playing along to the jerky projection of black-and-white images. However, that model
was something that occurred in the very earliest days of the cinema, in the very early 1900s. But by the 1910s, that was swept away by a wave of interest in using orchestras.
Rick Benjamin is the founder and director of the Paragon Ragtime Orchestra. Headquartered in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, the orchestra performs and records American music of the early 20th century, including accompanying screenings of silent films.
By 1916, there were 21,000 motion picture theaters in the U.S., and about half of them had orchestras.
But how big of an orchestra? You're talking like a full...
Well, it really, Carrie, it really varied by the venue. In the large cities, large groups of more than 50 players were fairly normal. In New York City, the Roxy Theater had the largest orchestra on earth, 110 instruments. It was bigger than the New York Philharmonic, playing three times a day, every day, 7 days a week. There were vastly more orchestras around than there are today, employing a legion of professional performers and supporting them, a vanished legion of composers, orchestrators, arrangers, conductors. The movie palace maestro was an actual species of musician.
The old movie music system started with the film studios. They would time every scene in the movie and have a resident musical expert decide which piece of standard music best fit the mood of each scene. From this, they developed a four-page cue sheet with the titles of the suggested music.
Just as the Orpheum Theater or the Rialto or the whatever had seats, they had a projector, they had a screen, they had a ticket booth, they would have a sheet music library down under the stage. And at minimum, you'd have 2,000 or 3,000 pieces of standard music. The music director would get this sheet. It would come in with the cans of film. Sparky, the projectionist, would take the reels of film up to the projection room. Music director would take it down to the music library and assemble this, what they called musical setting. So here's Agitato 1 by Lake. That's the first cue. Here is Volcanic Eruption by Ed Varney. You pull that over here. That's the second one in the stack. Then you need Love Music by Zamyshnek, and that's over here. So you pull it out of the files, you drop that on, that's the third one. And that's how you'd build a score. You would mark it then in blue pencil. We only need these 15 measures here of Q3, so it's marked. And the guys in the pit would know they start here and stop there. And then you would test out the score on a Sunday afternoon, you'd play through it, and then Monday, you'd give the first performance. My grandfather, the violinist, did a little bit of this work in the 1920s, and he used to say, "We'd tell our friends back in those days not to come until Thursday night." That was the time they had done it four or five times and had the continuity down. This practice remained in place from about 1913 right to the end of the silent era. Still in 1928-29, there are compilation scores being played in thousands of cinemas. And the Paragon Orchestra and I have been recreating all this for a long time now, 25 years. So we've been able to present probably about 50 different films now with their original cue sheet scores.
Recently, the orchestra released a CD with music of some of the best of these forgotten movie composers, along with biographical notes. It's called The Pioneers of Movie Music. For the WITF Arts and Culture Desk, I'm Carrie Burgett.